And we are live.
It's good to be live.
With yes, it is. With the second edition of the podcast, Plan A with John Allen. So, I have some wonderful guests here. They are going to help carry the show. And I plan on relying on them a lot. So, this should be entertaining, but they both have wonderful stories. And we're going to talk and ask some questions, and we'll see how the conversation goes, and we'll get some good life lessons out of this. And I think you'll learn a little bit about them, but also get a chance to kind of talk about their business too. And they both do a lot for the community, and it's time to give back a little bit, so they can reap some of the rewards. So first, well, I guess we'll go with Mackenzie, and we have Brad here, and they'll introduce themselves and their business, and let's kind of see how it goes. So I guess the first question is with Mackenzie. So we talked about a little bit earlier, and some of you guys know a little bit about the story of our dealership and our plan A. And so I would like Mackenzie to kind of talk about that. What is her why? What motivates her? What causes her to get up? What drives her? And so that'll be the first question for Miss Mackenzie Swanson. So,
yes, I'm Mackenzie Swanson. Thank you so much for having me on today, John.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. And congratulations on your new podcast. This is really cool. I'm really glad that you've decided to do this. And the premise of your show, I think, is really amazing. And I like anything that would affect the community in a positive way.
Well, good.
So I own Serendipitous Vintage and Gallery. It's located at 403 East Front Street in Monroe, Michigan. And I think my whole life I wanted to own like a vintage store. I've always been a bit of a thrift store junkie, if that's a thing. Coin that term. Even when I was a kid, I enjoyed going to just kind of treasure hunting. I'm terrified of the ocean, but I was raised on an island, which doesn't make a lot of sense, or it does, because I could look out my window and see where sharks were and things like that, and thought, I think I'll stay on land.
So the island was not in Michigan.
Oh, no. No, the island was in Florida. I think that's my main love for Michigan, is the lakes aren't supposed to have sharks in them. I'm feeling pretty confident that they don't, because I paddleboard a lot. So I do enjoy being on the water. I just don't really enjoy the critters inside of it. But anyway, so I guess that ties into, I would love to treasure hunt. Like, I still have dreams of like diving in the ocean and like finding a wrecked ship and like discovering treasure. And but again, I'm terrified of it. But on land, I'm able to go out to thrift stores and I find all these really cool things. Something that you always compliment me on is my review sunglasses, mm-hmm. that are from the 70s, that are like $300 glasses I paid 50 cents for. And it's just, I don't know, it's just something I've always liked. So I'm glad that I'm able to give other people an opportunity to come and discover something. And I think that's why I named my business Serendipitous. There's serendipity, which is a chance happening. But serendipitous is the actual act of going to look for something, and you don't find what you're looking for. You find something way better than
that's
what
strong.
You're looking for.
That's
so
strong.
Yeah, you know. So there was a lot of thought that went into the business. When I was younger, me and my daughter, and my daughter's 24 now, and she helps me with the business a lot. Thank you, Evangeline. When I was younger, she and I would talk dreams about owning a place called Trendy Threads, and we'd like make jeans really cool and like put patches on them and stuff. And we don't do that at Serendipitous yet, but you know, it's something in the works. But I think that would have been the spark of Serendipitous.
Very nice, very nice. So what? So you're originally from Florida, then obviously.
I'm actually from Monroe. I was born in Monroe, and I was raised the majority in Florida. I also lived in Tennessee for a spell, and you have to say it like that if you've lived in Tennessee for a spell. I've moved back to Monroe a couple different times. So,
yeah.
And that's also a thing with Serendipitous. When I was moving back recently, the most recent time I moved back was about 5 years ago, and I was living in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I knew that I had to move back for some family reasons, and I was gonna actually move to Ann Arbor. Because I was like, I'm going to open a store. Mm-hmm. I was selling real estate down there, and I went to my husband at the time and said, I don't want to sell real estate anymore. I want to open a store. If we're going to move, you know, to Michigan, this is what I want. And he said, well, okay, let's make this happen. So, so yeah, knowing very little about owning a business or a store 5 years later, I absolutely love my store, but man, have I come through some trials and tribulations. I mean, just the just having to be keep it open, just having to keep merchandise, the books, all those things are, you know, things that you may not prepare for. And different people came from all over to give me things for this store. And that's another thing that, that adds to the magic. If you've ever been in Serendipitous, it has a special, like, magical, it's a high energy field. So.
And that's is because so many people came to help you. That's yeah. what motivates you a little bit to keep it going. And
absolutely. I mean, it is a place. I still have people that that come to visit me. I do First Fridays. It's the first Friday of every month. We throw a party downtown. We encourage every business to stay open a little later if they're able to. And we encourage them to, you know, throw some kind of like customer appreciation or something. So on First Fridays, it's very special to me because people come to see me that I have couples that have met in Serendipitous. I have best friends that have met in Serendipitous. It's just a, I don't know, it has this magic. One of the cool things is my, I told you earlier that people gave me things for my store. And my friend Salvador St. Germain gave me my mannequin. I didn't think about, I'm like, oh, I think I'll just go open a store. You know, I didn't think about a cash register. I didn't think about a mannequin. You know, there were so many things I didn't think about, but they were all, you know, kind of gifted to me in some special way. And I think that that dynamic, that chemistry is what makes it what it is. And that's what keeps me going. Because I'll tell you what, I think I made 50 cents last month. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't make a lot of money with the store or the gallery. But for me, currency is very different. And the way that it puts me in touch with the community, that's what keeps Serendipitous going.
Well, we talked about that today in our, in the meeting, we talked about what was your why, you know, what keeps you motivated. Everybody has, you get the things you want in life. You got to be willing to do things that you've never done.
Yeah.
And, so that's very interesting. That's very nice. That's very nice.
Thank you. I like it. I like it a lot. Now, you haven't been in the store yet.
No, I have not. Right, I'm
cutting you a lot of slack. I know you got a newborn baby. And if I hadn't had three of those before in my life, then I would, you know, people that don't have kids might not understand. But my gosh, give it some time and you bring the whole family in. Okay.
The newborn baby has actually been the easy one. It's the 18-month-old that's been the handful.
Now, is he walking? Did I see that he's walking now?
Yeah, he's walking. He's kind of feeding himself briefly a little bit. I mean, he's not very cleanly with it, but
yeah, they don't do it. They got to feel that texture and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah,
yeah, and you get to clean it up.
No, so that's awesome. So, so you guys do, obviously you have the shop and everything, but you guys do events too.
Yeah, they're, you know, smaller events. I do a it's called the Madhouse and the Firefly. It's probably my favorite event. Other people are probably, if they listen to this, they're going to go, hey, you said that was my favorite event. No, the Madhouse and the Firefly is the third Saturday of every month, and it's a poetry guild and a storytelling guild, and then we have one musician. It's kind of set up like, I hate to compare it to Saturday Night Live, but like Saturday Night Live, you know, they open with music, and they have one intermission, and then they kind of close with it. So that's kind of how we do it. And I mean, it's attracted people from Ann Arbor, Toledo, Detroit. I call Monroe the trifecta, like the area, you know, like we're right there. And I mean, on those nights, it's a packed house. I mean, people come from out of the woodworks to perform. It's not an open mic night. It's just, and I run the storytelling guild, which is called the Firefly. And I get up, I MC usually, and then I also get up and tell a story sometimes throughout the night. We have different themes. We've had, I think one of the biggest ones was the erotic show in February that we have. People really come out for that. That's really nice. But we do all kinds of different themes throughout the year. I think over the summer we did summer heat, mm-hmm. you know, and people will come out. And we did Rust Belt Blues. That was awesome. Because when you think about poetry, I think a lot of people think it's, you know, someone's going to get up and be like, I loved once, you know, and it's nothing like that. It's I have some very raw poets, not quite like spoken word, although we do have that too. But I have guys from GM that come out that work in the factory, and they talk about, you know, just like busting their butt every day, and like, you know, it's really moving.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
That's probably the main event that we have going. You know, sometimes, you know, all the first Friday, and yeah, the third Friday of or Saturday of every month, we got something going on. So it's good stuff.
You got the poetry. Okay. You got your own little radio show. Okay.
Yeah.
You got your store that apparently makes millions. You do a lot with the community. So you have, a big thing is we got the tree lighting festival.
Yes.
You got your hands in a lot of pies. And you obviously don't get a lot of money for it.
No. The currency, like I said, the involvement with the community and that buzz, I can't explain it unless you have ever felt that. You know, it's something people should definitely obtain.
You love it. That's what it is, helping people. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've always loved that my whole life. Some people wait to hear like their calling or whatnot. But in my life, I've always wanted to help people. And sometimes people in my family, my close family, get upset with me. And they're like, Mackenzie, take care of you. You need to take care of you. And I'm like, but that's what takes care of me. I almost feel guilty for some of the stuff I do, because I think maybe I get more out of it than the other people. But yeah, I'm always down. I can't imagine like not wanting to be out and about and, you know, and helping people.
That gives you your fuel, huh?
Yeah, it's my fuel. Wow, you did good. You just like totally depicted me. You windled me down to find it out. But wow, nice job. Okay, so yeah, that's what keeps me going, is helping people.
I love it. And it was a big reason why I wanted you on the show, along with obviously Brad. And I mean, you guys do so much for the community. I mean, you guys took time out of your time, your day, to come here and help me with, I guess, my first official podcast where we're talking and interviewing. It really means a lot to me. It really does. And, I'm not paying them. I didn't even buy them a cup of coffee or anything. There was no donuts or anything out here.
It's a Rimshack show you got going here, John.
Yes, it is.
Now, but you help out a lot in the community, too. That's how all three of us kind of got linked together. So
it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you tell that story?
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that another time. But I got two wonderful individuals here that I need to help continue carrying the show right now. And because they're two pros and they do a lot. So thank you very much for sharing, Mackenzie.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You know, and I understand why so many people love you.
Aw. Gee, shucks. Thank you. I think hopefully I encourage other people to get, you know, with my show, I have the show Here We Grow, which is also going to be a podcast here. Thanks to you and Alan Chevrolet for doing all that. That's awesome. That's a really big help, because there's a lot of people that want to do these podcasts, but you know, you're definitely the pioneer on it. So congratulations again.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad that we can help out. I mean, that's why we do it. You know, we rise by lifting others.
So I have never heard Brad Schreiber be so quiet in my life.
It's respectful.
I'll try it sometime.
It's not my show, so
I think he's nervous.
No, I think he is. He's in the hot seat. You're going to wimble him down like you did me. Yeah? Let's find out what makes
I've never been on such a renegade show as Mackenzie's, so I feel if I can survive that in Treadwater, I'm going to be fine right
the
here.
The renegade. Yes. She was a cop and good at her job. She committed the ultimate sin. Oh, go ahead.
So the next individual I met through the famous fireworks, they were going to cancel the Monroe County fireworks. A very, very nice gentleman made a post saying that the fireworks were going to be canceled and generated a lot of buzz. And so I reached out to him and I thought he was in charge of it, but it's just an individual going out of his way to share the message. And I realized he had nothing. He wasn't running it. When I was like, who do I write the check out to? He goes, well, the fireworks. I go, well, who's running it? He goes, well, you wrote the check. And I'm like, oh, geez, oh, peace. And I'm like, well, don't you get like paid or something for this? Oh, no, I'm just a person of the community.
Yep.
Trying to help out. And I go, what about all this other stuff? Oh, just trying to make sure, you know, he puts a lot on his shoulders, and did a great job with the Jazz Fest.
Thank you.
And, you know, it catches a lot of, you know, even when you try to do good, you know, people are going to try to bring you down, and you've done a great job of rising above. So
thank you.
I'd like to further ado a nice introduction for Mr. Brad Schreiber. So let's talk about you, and why don't you introduce yourself and your business and a little bit what you do with your business. Talk about it.
Sure. My name is Brad Schreiber. I've owned a business called By Design Graphic Arts and Marketing for over 18 years here in Monroe. I worked for a big company before that, and shortly after September 11th, I lost my job there because people just weren't flying and all that. And I had left the area 3 years prior to that, and I felt really good about it. But then when jobs started sucking down the tubes after that, I didn't feel so good. I was really worried about what I was going to do. I had three children and a wife, and what am I going to do? Do I stay, you know, in Florida, or do I come up here, or what do I do? And so I decided to come up here and start my own business rather than go back to where I was before. Yeah, just trying to avoid the shame of trying to, you know, go back to something like, oh, I thought you were down there. I thought you were doing this. And you know how people can be sometimes. So I thought, you know, I'm gonna do this. And many people said, don't do it. You're crazy. That's crazy. At the time that I started my marketing company, there was five other marketing companies that were pretty much flourishing throughout Monroe County. And one of the biggest ones was Monroe Evening News had their own. And it just so happened that I was like right across the street from them. So they were like watching me come in and who was going. And it was just a weird thing. But today, 18 years later, I don't really have any competition. And I think that's because you are what you do. If you give something, it comes back to you. People, I've never had a ad in the newspaper. I've never had a telephone book ad. What are those, right? So it's really cool to see people can kill you with their words.
Mm-hmm.
And they can help you with their words. And, you know, if you do 100 great things and you do one wrong thing, that's the one thing that you're going to be remembered for. So you got to be super duper careful with all that, especially in a small town, in a community like this. Yeah.
Your reputation. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has to be good, and it has to be golden. And you're right. You know, there are detractors and people that, you know, would just want your job or whatever you're doing. And, but we've been really, really blessed. So, yeah. So here I sit, 18 years later, going on 19 years in March, and Monroe's been very, very good to me.
You were just voted something, weren't you?
Can we talk about that on the air?
Yeah,
I'm
we
kidding.
Can talk. Yeah, we
oh,
can
that.
Talk about that.
I'm sorry.
That thing on the air.
I thought yeah, it was something.
What
else. What
thing are you talking
no,
about?
I'm okay. Kidding.
Yeah, I was a runner-up for sure. There was many more people that were more qualified to be a good person in Monroe. And actually, our friend Heather Boone, Pastor Heather Boone, won that. And just a, you know, popularity contests are not good for me. It's just odd. It's an honor, certainly, but I'm like, oh, geez. They called me to come pick that up. They're like, hey, you have an award here. You want to come pick it up? I'm like, okay. It was just odd. It was very, very nice, though. Yeah.
It was well deserved.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
And you should be very proud of it. I mean, you do a ton, and I think you were very modest on everything that just came out of your mouth.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, John. You know, let's talk about how we got to be friends. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
And it started not with me. I don't know if he knows that. It started with the woman I worked with. If you think about it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So I was working in a doctor's office, and it's just me and Kathy Keller work there, and she's probably the quietest, nicest, sweetest woman you could ever imagine. I'm shocked she's not a sister at IHN. Like, she's just barely speaks, and she looks up. We're getting ready for the day, and she looks at me, and our desks face each other, and she says, there's not going to be fireworks this year. That's all she said to me. And I looked at her and I said, what? Of course there's going to be fireworks. She goes, nope, there's not. I was like, I feel like I would have heard about this. She goes, there's not going to be fireworks. I said, were you going to go? And she goes, oh no, I just, which is like a lot of people are like, well, I didn't want to do anything, you know, but sure. So she looks at me and says, there's not going to be fireworks. And I was like, well, let me hold up. And of course, the first person, like you'd said earlier, John, like we know somebody that gets things done. And Brad Schreiber's definitely one of those people. And that's the first person I messaged you immediately. I was like, is there not going to be fireworks? And you're like, what? I haven't heard anything about this. So here this almost mousy, sweet little old lady says this. And that's mm-hmm. who sparked, total pun, this entire engagement right here that's going on. Because that's when I messaged Brad. And that's when Brad, in what, less than 7 hours, had raised the money and talked to people and, you know, boom. So.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. I was the interim director for the Tourism Bureau at the time. And, well, that's not even true.
That's not even true.
I left the Tourism Bureau in March, and they decided that they were not going to do any more events. So.
And you got paid a bunch of money for this, correct?
No, I didn't get paid anything.
Oh, for the fireworks? Yeah, right.
No.
Okay.
Well, you mean being interim director? No. No. But I will say that it was a rewarding experience because I was running my business at the same time. And also rebranding the Tourism Bureau. And I was just a placeholder pretty much until they could find a new guy. And they did. They got Matt Zook, who seems to be doing a fine job right now. And weirdly, they dropped everything, though. They were no longer in the events business, which meant no fireworks, no jazz festival, no jazz series, no Halloween, no anything. I mean, just everything that had been built by the prior fellow, John Patterson, it was just gone. Without warning, without handoffs, without anything. It was just gone. And, you know, when Mackenzie said that, I called up my friend over there, Jason, at the Sterling State Park, and I asked him, hey, what's going on? And he was like, nothing. You know, we got nothing. This is our 100-year centennial of the park. And I'm like, well, that's a shame. So then I ended up calling the fireworks guys and asked them how much it would cost and all that good stuff. And then I just thought, okay, how do we raise $11,000, like, now? And I didn't know how to do it, so I just put up a post that said canceled with a big picture of fireworks.
Man, was it good.
Yep, and I wrote a little bit underneath it and explained things, and that thing lit like wildfire. I mean, within 3 hours, it was shared over 306 times. Shared, not liked, shared. And you know, it was funny because people, you know, when John Patterson was running that thing, it was one of his favorite things to do. But he would always say to me, you know, I don't even know if people really appreciate this. I really just don't. But they did. And they did big time. And boy, oh boy. And I will tell you, I was at lunch and you wrote me, John, and you said, hey, let's talk about this. Can we talk about this? And I'm like, sure. I'm like, who the hell is John Allen? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's the son of, that's Thompson. So we hooked up right before I was coming in on a radio show and talked very briefly. And I told him we needed probably 14,000, 11,000 just to shoot him off. And then, you know, another 3,000 for the other things that we needed. And he's like, okay, well, let me call you back in an hour. And he did. And they were like, we'll do it. And that was it. And then I was able to go and get a whole bunch of other help pretty quick. And it was awesome. And what a great event. And, you know, that's why I stick around, that kind of help. And it's not that you had to do it, but you could, and you did. And now, oddly enough, you are, you're having to do a lot of new stuff. I mean, the fireworks didn't stop there. Yeah, there's a blower going on. If you can hear that in the background, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So it didn't stop there. I mean, you then became, you know, kind of like the Pied Piper of nonprofit helping very quickly. And I know you guys did a lot before, and but certainly it threw you out in the middle of everything, you and your family and your business. And you didn't back up. You stepped up. It was pretty awesome. Good stuff.
Well, thank you. That's not me. I'm not messing this up.
It's not you. I know it's your second time running the board. You're doing a fantastic job. It's a leaf blower outside, so.
Oh, it's a leaf blower. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Very nice.
Yeah.
I usually get Brad's, for Here We Grow. It's just not a show if I don't get like the loudest chopper go by about halfway through, and that's like that's my cue to, you know, remind everyone who, you know, that it's Here We Grow and who I'm interviewing and all that. I'm like, oh, there's the the loud Harley that just drove by. So
Brad was just sharing some very deep thoughts and was being very nice, and he got the leaf blower.
Cue the leaf blower.
I think that's life. You know, even when you're trying to do something good, there's always going to be something trying to bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to rise up. And I think you both have definitely experienced that. I mean, I witnessed a lot of it firsthand with Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we did all these great things and everything with the fireworks, but there was a negativity. Like, what are the alternative motives? Where's the money really going? What happened to the money in the past?
Oh my gosh.
You could have, where could have, could you have donated the money to something, you know?
Didn't they say repair the roads?
I mean,
yeah, that
you
was.
You know, why do people have to be like that? And you guys are bringing this up, if you don't mind me to chime in a little bit and just say, like, all I would see is the positive in that. And you can't change people. If I've learned anything in the last year, you cannot change people. It only took me 40 years to get here to figure you can't change people. But I've always thought, like, if I just kept a positive attitude and if I just, you know, that maybe that it would catch on. You know, people, you know, get like that. But I think they, unfortunately, sometimes go back to that negative thinking.
There is. Well, there's a lot of it out there. And
repair,
you know,
the roads. Huh.
Well, for that to continue, I mean, for it to stop or for negativity, the rule is good people and positive people. I mean, if they stop being good and stop donating, then obviously the negativity is going to go there. But you can't let the negativity dictate who you are.
No.
And stop.
That's well said.
And yep. And you guys are proof of it. And I'm very honored to call you guys friends. So.
Back at you. I loved the idea that. I mean, I didn't even have to ask you for things. A lot of times you'd say, what are you working on now? I'm like, Jazz Festival, we need this much money to get this thing going. You're like, I'll help. And it was just that simple. And, you know, if more people could see the good in it and rather than what it might not be. And certainly the Jazz Festival was something that was institutionalized here in Monroe County. We were famous for it. You know, I could be in Columbus. And somebody would say, oh, you're from Monroe, you have that jazz festival. It's true. It's true. And we went from a nothing to a good $30,000, $40,000. We were very, very blessed, and you guys helped out a lot. And I think that when people see good people getting involved in stuff, they want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of the success. They want to be a part of something different and something bigger than themselves. And I think that that's why the that's why I do it. I want a sense of community, and I think that this definitely brought a lot of people to the community every single year for 18 years, and everyone benefited from that. And there were detractors, for sure. Didn't know how things worked. You know what? Honestly, it doesn't matter. What matters is there's a great big party. It was in our town. It was right here, and the community benefited from it. And that's the end, you know? I will say that when I worked with the Tourism Bureau, I worked with John Patterson for a good 15 years, and people would always say, well, you know, where's all the money going? How's that working? Well, the truth is that it costs a lot of money. I mean, I saw it firsthand 2 years ago when I ran it after he died, and then last year with a bare bones start. And there's a lot more to it than people think. And we're super blessed to have people that came up like you guys did. And a lot of people did. One of the coolest.
You mean
things
everybody's not willing to do it for free?
Nobody. I did it for free.
I always do. I love that though. It makes, I don't know. What else would I do with my time?
Well, yeah,
laundry. That's what I would do. No.
And you know, you see it firsthand when you're out on that stage and you're standing, with Zonjic or somebody else, and you're looking out at that sea of people that came down for a free festival. And people were like, well, why don't you charge for it? You know, that's how we make the money. That's how we pay for it. You can't out in an open area like that. It just doesn't work.
Sure.
It just doesn't work. What are you going to say? You're going to have to go over to that corner and at the end of that street and not listen. You can't. It's an open air concert. And,
isn't that why we do things in life? It's just for money.
Well, I don't. I don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but it's certainly a catalyst, and it's certainly a great big, deal for discussion. People really like to get involved in all of the mechanics, but they don't want to help. They don't want to help.
So if we don't do it for money, then why do we do it?
Joy? Community?
That was my answer. You stole my answer.
Sorry.
I had it written down.
Those are right up there. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I agree. I enjoy experiences, the experience of it. But I also, it's the vibe of the crowd. I know that it's a high energy, you know, you get a concentration of that many people in one area. And I mean, for me, I feel almost like like shaky when I'm around that many people. I don't know how many people I hugged at the Jazz Fest. Like, I mean, it was it was just a love fest. It was just friends and like everyone there, not just being supportive, but also enjoying the music and just getting into it. I mean, it's music. I mean, music speaks to just about everybody's soul. So for something like that, you know, that to me is currency. You know,
that's the currency.
That's the currency.
Is love and memories.
How many different events do we have here where we have such a communal presence? And then everyone coming from the outside in. You know, I had a lady call me from Columbus when I announced. I had to go as far as to announce that it was over too. We had to cancel the Jazz Festival. And boy, did I get calls. But a lady told me that she was like, you know, I booked 25 rooms for my family. We all come in from Columbus. And she goes, they're already booked. And so you're telling me I have to cancel them. I'm like, ma'am, yes. You probably should cancel them because it's just not going to happen. And it was cool, though, because I kept her number. And I called her back once that got back on the map. And she came back so happy, found me, you know, in the park, came up, gave me a great big hug. It was just, that's what makes it good. That's what makes it right. And people will say, well, they're not from here. Yeah, well, that's what tourism is, right? And I will also say that tourism is staycations. And it's a majority in these days
We don't do this just for the people in Monroe?
No, we do it for everyone. We bring people to Monroe through that. And, you know, Monroe is definitely the home of Lazy Boy, Custer, and a jazz festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
We got big things going on. You know, I sit on a lot of the different committees for the things we're doing to attract people to our town. And, you know, that's something that, you know, keeping people, you know, in a positive, upbeat mood about their town. The big thing is ownership. John, you asked me about the tree lighting. The tree lighting's kind of the same thing, not to like bite onto like where you've had to step up. But yeah, they just kind of dropped it in our laps and said, we're not going to do that anymore. And we had 3 weeks notice last year immediately. And, you know, I go into problem solving mode. You know, I've got a DJ. I'm like, Michael Madison, there's my DJ. Okay, I'm going to get a hold of Mr. and Mrs. Kloss. I got them. And I told them what had happened. And I let them read the letter that we received from a certain entity letting us know that there wasn't going to be a tree lighting. I think it was from the Grinch. And, I read them this letter and they're like, oh, I'm in. I'm definitely in. And then now this year, Alan Chevrolet is so gracious to give us a little budget. Last year, they gave me $500 from the DDA after I basically looked at everyone and said, we have 3 weeks to do this. We can't drop the ball on this. Not our community right now. We're at such a crucial time. We're under such scrutiny with all the things going on with the Tourism Bureau that was going on, with all the things going on that had been dropped. I'm like, we can't do this. Come on. This is the heart of Monroe. This is our heart. You know, I was like, we have to have this tree lighting. And so, they gave me a budget of $500. I think I gave them $380 back. Oh no, maybe it was $303 back. I'm not sure about that. I can get that number together someday. But yeah, I handed them money back because everyone volunteered for me. And, you know, this year we do have some people that have pitched in. The DDA can't do it because we don't do events. And so when I went to them and I explained that to them, you know, but to me, that currency, and I think it's the same with you, Brad and John, like to me, that currency will be on November 22nd. That's a Friday, by the way, from 5:30 to 7:30. I will get to see the people that have come together and made our community what it is. And then you get to see everyone so happy to see just when that tree lights up, you know, just thinking about it, I have chills right now.
And it's the simplest thing.
It really is.
They'll be out there for hours waiting for that one thing to happen.
And I'll be right there with it. Last year, I was in Mexico when it went down. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Keep
smiling. Just keep smiling. No, I was
delighted because I could change the poster.
You're such a butt. And he did.
And he did.
He waited till I touched down in Mexico and changed the name of the lighting. But anyway, so no, the lighting went down. And here I am in Cancun And they're putting up this big, beautiful tree and everything, but I just wasn't, I wanted to be home. I want to be in Fun Row with my family. Yeah, with my family.
Fun Row.
Fun Row.
I can't take credit for that. My friend Dave Hughes, I mention him often, and he's the one that coined the tune, the term. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fun Row. So, yeah, I wanted to be here. I wanted to be, you know, no matter how cold it was here, I knew that it would be warm in the square for that
night. Well, with the fireworks and the Jazz Fest and...
And now the tree lighting.
The tree lighting makes it definitely fun.
It was cool to go out. And you know, it's a whole nother world, really, when you're not in a downtown. Because I worked at the health department for 10 years, and I rarely visited downtown. I didn't. And it's its own little metropolis. I mean, it's truly, it's everybody knows everybody here. Everybody knows everybody's business here. Everybody knows, you know. And it's somewhat scary sometimes because you just don't know what people are going to do or say. And I don't know. And so when I was putting together the fireworks, of course, since Allen's were key to this, I said, well, come on out to the big meetings that we have, you know. And John, we had a... He's already smirking. We had a big meeting out there. I said, this is a pretty big meeting. You should come. He was like, okay, I'll be there. You know.
And who's at this meeting? Paint the picture for me.
Every head of every municipality is there. He's got like 20 people sitting in this room.
He Brad and I are the only ones there without bulletproof vests on.
Yeah, that's so true. He was like, I didn't know that there was going to be this, you know. We had the chief of police, we had this chief of the state troopers, we had the chief of the fire, and man, everybody was out there.
The DNR, the state park police, yeah. The city of Monroe police, and yep. It was just like,
it was you know, if there's any emergency in town that day, I don't know what would have happened during those 2 hours, but it's a big deal, and people don't really understand what a big deal it is. And I think you were surprised. And, you know, I have to say the year prior was my surprise when I walked in and saw that. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And they were looking to me for direction. I'm like, I'm just sitting in the chair.
I got nothing.
I fit the suit. Yeah.
So he walks in and... He was just...
Well, he was running a little bit late.
10 minutes late.
Yeah.
I walk 10 minutes late to a meeting I shouldn't be late to.
He texted me. He was like, Brad, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. I'm like, okay.
Keep him busy. All right, stretch, cool. Stretch.
Comes in and was like, Yeah. Yeah, he had to bring a chair up to the table. It was so full. That's right.
And do you have to clear your voice?
It was not uncomfortable for me at all.
But... The day of the fireworks, when we got out there, and I think me and you were walking over to the stage from your hospitality tent, we were walking over to the main stage, and we had to surf through all these people, and it was probably about 7 o'clock, and I'm like, look what you did, you know, look at this. This would not be here. This would not happen. And it's an amazing thing to think about. This would not be here. This would not happen. People would not be out here. And I remember people coming up and thanking you for bringing it back. And, you know, if there's not a catalyst that people can, you know, chum onto, then it probably wouldn't have happened. If Alan Chevrolet hadn't picked it up and said, hey, we're going to give this much money, we wouldn't have had that. We just wouldn't have. You were the catalyst for that to come back.
I think you're being too kind on that.
It's true.
Can I ask a question? I've noticed, and it may be in every, maybe I'm even guilty of taking things for granted. Like when I lived in St. Pete, things like this went on, and I never, you know, sniffed around and found out where they were coming from. I just thought it was expected. Like, oh, yeah, well, that's just supposed to happen. Absolutely. Like entitled.
Good right. People think, rising up. Yeah. Good people rising up, making sure that your fuel, as we talked about, making memories, making smiles, and realizing that there's more to life than just what's in it for me. And you know, it's a different fuel. And I guess if you want to take a look at it, is what's in it for you is smiles and then make people happy. And I mean, if that's your currency, you know, that's a very affordable currency, and I think a lot of people would be glad to pay that.
Yeah, and they did they really helped us out. A whole new set of sponsors for the Jazz Festival, all brand new, every one of them. Really, really cool. And, you know, we definitely should thank the folks that did put it on for 17 years. I mean, that's a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. And, the former sponsors were amazing to stick with us for 17 years. That was a huge, huge commitment. And we're certainly very happy. It's funny because people think, well, why did they drop it? What happened? Well, nothing happened. It just...
Nothing lasts forever.
Nothing lasts forever.
Or they don't look at the 20 years before and they're like, typical Monroe. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that.
Typical.
I will stop people.
Turn off the lights.
The new one I get is everyone wants to run for mayor. Everybody I know, we're out and about and they're like, I think I'm going to run for mayor. I'm like, are you now? What does the mayor do? And they can't even answer that question. And mm-hmm. So I've actually had Mayor Clark on my show before. And I'm like, can you please tell your future opponents what they're going to have to do to be mayor? Because, I would love the prestige and the ego boost of being mayor.
He gets paid a bunch of money for that, too.
Oh, my gosh. He's just him and all of the.
Just like the mayor of Detroit. He gets a brand new Escalade and big, the big mansion on the hill, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he gets? The Manoogian Mansion up there?
Yeah. Mayor Clark and his 83, I want to say it was 83 dogs he fostered just this year in between being mayor and doing all the other things he does. I think they roll in all the cash.
Well, his job is considered part-time, isn't it?
Yeah, but he doesn't stop.
I know he doesn't. Yeah. He's a wonderful individual.
He's a great mayor. Yeah.
I recently, clerk treasurer Michelle Lavoie gifted me some dinner tickets to have dinner with the mayor, I thought, right?
What?
So I show up to Public House. Well, and he and I sit on the DDA, he and I have a decent rapport. And I show up to Public House, and it turns out he's actually the guest waiter for the night.
Ah.
So it's like celebrity something. So she'd pay these tickets to go and have the mayor wait on her for the evening. So I got to have that. But I can say, and I told him to stick to being mayor, because the man can do anything, but maybe waiting isn't his forte.
Well, you have to wash your hands.
Yeah, right? Too much.
Well, this has been amazing. I mean, I think, your guys, both of your plan A's are, what drives you. I mean, you guys do so much. It seems to be on the same page of helping other people, putting everybody else before yourselves. And then your currency is the smile. And the memories. And then even realize you're going to catch some flack. But even if you get the one smile or the one positive memory, then it seems like it's all worth it.
Truth. Yes. Thanks for having us on, John.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Two wonderful individuals done so much for the community. We'll hopefully continue doing great things for the community. Mm-hmm. You're not retiring, are you?
No, I will not be retiring anytime soon.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm here.
You're here?
Yep.
All right.
Yes, sir.
We won't let you go.
No.
Not a chance.
No, probably not.
All right. Well, I love you guys both. You guys have been amazing. Thank you. And remember, our plan B is work harder at plan A. This is John Allen signing off. Take care, you guys.